are the ingredients? A little Afrobeat. Some good reggae.
You should never give up, never give up. Just keep on trying. Never give up, believe in what.
Drop in some R&B.
These curves in his body, no wonder they haven't thought me. I might get wild every once in a while. All depends on the time of the night.
And a taste of soca. From Bristol to the world, you're listening to Ujima 98 FM. We are you. We are Ujima.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Minor, singer, songwriter and performer, and you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast.
The Persona Power Podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online and in everyday life.
Hello, welcome to the Persona Power Podcast. I am your host today. My name is Meg Cox. I am a sustainable fashion stylist and owner of Bristol-based styling business Cloth Mod. Unfortunately, we don't have Mary with us again. Missing her dearly. I'm very looking forward to having her back very soon with us. So today you have me again. And I'll tell you what, I am really enjoying the pops of spring I'm seeing everywhere, like seeing all the little daffodils coming out. Daffodils always remind me of my nan, and it's a really lovely reminder of her. They used to be her favourite flowers, and she was a keen gardener. And she had, like, her garden would always explode with colour around, like, spring and summertime. So, it's energising me at the moment. I'm also enjoying that it's getting a little bit warmer. And also, I am very much looking forward to not having to worry if I've got my umbrella in my bag every day. And also, like, I'm looking forward to getting my stilettos back out again and my little kitten heels out and not worrying about, you know, if I'm going to get soggy feet or not by wearing them. Just the little joys in life, you know. That's it. I'm excited to get out of my garden. I'm excited. Like, it's a good time of year seeing spring coming back in, I think. You know, I do enjoy the cozier months. I do enjoy getting my big coats out. I do enjoy that, but you know, it's, we've had it for a while now. It's about time spring is back. So as per each episode, I am here with a little bit of news for you, a little bit of fashion news. I'm keeping you up to date with what's going on. And it's just, London Fashion Week has just been and gone, and there was some news that popped up that King Charles III, he turned up to a fashion show. So it's not been the first time that a royal has turned up to fashion shows, it's definitely happened before, but this one was for the Nigerian-British designer Tolu Koka, and her designs are fantastic. If you don't know who she is or look at her designs, definitely look her up. But her show was really rooted in her family archives and kind of included a lot of West London memories, the realities of social mobility, and she wanted to make it clear that validation would come on her own terms. So this happened on February the 19th at New Gen Space, and it was an amazing moment for Tolu Koka, because she actually started her journey at the Prince's Trust in 2018, which is now the King's Trust. So it was amazing to see that he was there to support her, and The runway was amazing. I definitely wish I was there. There was like so little Sims performed there as well. So she was initially sat in the on front row, and she did sing there, which is also very, very cool. And also little Sims, her fashion is also amazing. So it was an amazing thing for her to perform there whilst the show was going on as well. So the runway was actually staged as a West London streetscape as well. It was very cool. So it had like traffic cones, there were like tube signs, there was like the sign Mozart Street, a city of Westminster marker, and it was there to frame the city as like a cultural melting point, as what London is, absolutely. So the runway was called Survivor's Remorse, and it was a 28 look collection, so it was a good collection, good amount of outfits, and it combined sculptural and preppy tailoring, you know, like Clueless vibes, which I am all for. I love tailoring. I absolutely love the structure that you get from tailoring as well, and also the feeling you get from it as well. If you've ever put on a suit or something that is tailor-made to you, that feeling is fantastic. You feel amazing. It's like you have walked into your own, you know. You've arrived. And loving that. So, you know, the Clueless inspired plaid, it was like voluminous silhouettes, there was matching hats, vivid colours, it really balanced softness against the protection and discipline and of structure. We saw jackets that were corseted with relaxed shoulders, but it combined structure and structure without the stiffness. It was very animated, and that's what tailoring can be. The point of tailoring is to have a piece of clothing that is tailored to you, so you can move in it. Like, it's there to, it fits you properly, and it really balanced like the pleats with the movement, with balancing the precision at the precision with ease. Like, heritage tartans were featured, there was a bold color palette, and she also included Yoruba color language. I hope I've pronounced that right. I'm sorry if I haven't. So that she combined that with European craftsmanship, and it created this amazing dual identity going on. There was a lot of hooded silhouettes as well, and athletic references, which contrasted with the sculptural and anatomical corsetry. It was truly a wardrobe that was like shaped of two worlds, which is amazing to see. And you could really see like her identity and her personality coming through in that. It was fantastic. And also, I love talking about sustainability here as well. And that she really did an amazing job with that as well. So there was a lot of British wool, there was a lot of upcycled leather, dead stock denim, and reclaimed satin, and all of those are amazing ways to make a gorgeous collection of high quality pieces without forgetting about the sustainability side of stuff. And especially including British wool is something that I have noticed in the high street, but also just noticed generally buying new, is that it's rare to find knitwear and fabrics that are 100% wool or don't include any polyesters or synthetic fibers. And that's a shame, because like wool is such a fantastic fiber. It it keeps you warm in the winter and it's breathable in the summer. It's fantastic. And it's something that within the British wool industry, the price that these farmers are getting from selling their wool is not enough, and there's not enough focus on supporting that industry here. So to see that she's made sure to use British wool, I think is fantastic. Like, it's such an amazing resource that I don't understand why we're mixing all of this synthetic stuff with it. Like, I would absolutely choose 100% wool. I'd prefer to spend a little bit more and get a 100% wool jumper than, you know, cop out and get one that's... It also, like, doesn't bobble as quickly either. Like, all of these polyesters and stuff, they bobble so quickly. It's just, it's not cool. It's not cool. She, within the set as well, she drew on like Mozart Street, but also Lagos. And she wove together a lot of themes of home, her ambition, aspirational luxury, and creating a wardrobe that's designed between these two worlds. So she is multidisciplinary as well. She's a talented lady. So she's London based, and she started up as a textile designer. She's also an illustrator, and within a lot of her work, she explores this identity, and also the social climate through quite a contemporary lens. So she initially launched her label in 2018 after graduating from Central St. Martin's. And she would always blend artisan craftsmanship with innovative technology. And a lot of her designs were largely unisex as well. So her work examines the diasporic black community, blurring art and fashion through illustrative and concept-driven collections. So she's highly recognised in Vogue, Dazed, which is fantastic, and I love to see that she is a black designer that's getting all of this recognition. You know, fashion is has been renowned for being like gatekeepery and not allowing small designers to blossom and bloom in it. So it's amazing to see this. And it's something, a reason why I wanted to bring it to you today is almost to encourage you. So if you're a designer that, you know, is wanting to get into the fashion industry, you're making lots of pieces, but, you know, you maybe feel like it's an unachievable thing. No, you can do it. You can do it. Absolutely, 100%. So... She's always been committed to social change, and she also collaborated with Choose Love during London Fashion Week. Initially, and this is in 2020, she released a t-shirt supporting refugee and grassroots projects worldwide. So even on top of that, she's including a drive of positive change within her work. So yeah, amazing. Round of applause. So if you would like to go and look her up, so her name is Tolu Koker, so T-O-L-U and then C-O-K-E-R. Definitely check her out. I think she's fantastic. And I would have loved to be at that fashion show. And it's such an encouraging thing. So I also have gone through the Prince's Trust program. I did their 18 to under 30s program, and I thought that they were fantastic. They worked really, really well with me as a neurodivergent as well. So the person who was supporting me, they would do like body doubling with me just to ensure I got all of the paperwork in because because the paperwork was definitely it was a struggle for me. There was a lot of it. There was a lot of having to review stuff and change little details and all of this, and that's something that I definitely struggled with. So to have that support as well, and acknowledgement that, you know, even though I struggle with that doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of running my own business and having that support. So it was amazing. And the grant helped me set up my shop as well, which is fantastic. And I couldn't thank them enough. So if it's something that you're looking into, if you're a small business owner, or if you're just looking into, you want to build your own business and you're under 30, definitely look into the King's Trust. They are great, but also remember to ask for the right support that you need, or be honest with them if you do need any extra support, because they gave it to me, so they're definitely there to start to give it to you too. So on the topic of business, so I wanted to also offer some info, some of my own experiences on running a business, and in the hope that if you also are running a business, then you can feel less alone, but also to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to just do it, because it is... I do not look back. I could not imagine myself without, like, doing this. This is the only thing I can imagine myself doing, because it's my joy, it's my passion. I've always wanted to own a business and run a business. My dad, he owned his own business, and I always looked up to him when I was a kid, and it was always there. Like, that was kind of my goal, to have my own business. At that point, I didn't know what what that looked like. Initially my passion was in, like, photography and the creative arts, like painting. I even looked into... I was also very, very obsessed with psychology and how the mind works as well, which is definitely something that has helped me with my own mind and my own strategy with it as well. But initially, I went to college, and I did, after my A-levels, I went to college and I did fashion design. And then from there, I went to uni and did fashion media and marketing. And I was not very good at, I actually first off went and did fashion business up in Birmingham, and I did not get on very well there. I was a fish out of water. I'm a country bumpkin, you see. So deciding to go to Birmingham, mainly because I also couldn't really afford going to London, and I thought Birmingham, great. It was like a really big course. There was a lot of resources there, a lot of connections in the fashion industry, so I thought that was the best place to be, but it wasn't. I didn't enjoy it. There was too many people. I was very overwhelmed. I just didn't get on very well there, which I then moved and transferred at the start of my second year to Plymouth. And you'd think, Plymouth, why? That doesn't sound like a place that you would go for fashion, but I think I enjoyed it because it was a lot of sustainability side of stuff. So I was able to work with local businesses, like Finisterre was down there, and they have amazing sustainable values in there. So I was able to nurture a lot of that and nurture the creative side of fashion. So the reason I'm saying this is that, you know, don't feel lesser because you're not doing the ideal thing that you think is right for like your education or for the thing. Like, sometimes you've got to listen to yourself and listen to how you feel in it, and if you don't feel it's right, then that's okay. You can go and find somewhere that does feel right. You're not any lesser because, like, I don't feel like I missed out because I didn't go to London. Yes, there's amazing connections there, and if you can go and do that, if you can do the ideal thing, absolutely go do it. But if you can't, then that's also okay. Go and find something that really works for you. And then I started my, so I then after uni I went and did like some fashion-y jobs. Like I got a job at Marks and Spencer's in doing visual merchandising initially, and then I went and did marketing through yachts. I then went and did marketing fuel tank equipment in their like sustainability side of stuff, and that actually was with my dad. That was during lockdown after I got made redundant from the yacht job. So it was somewhere that I never thought I'd be, like I never thought that I would be into that industry, but it taught me a lot about how I can alter and change my skills to adapt and be adaptable. So I did learn a lot from that. And then during lockdown, as I wasn't able to see my sister, she lived over in Cardiff at the time. So when the borders were closed, we weren't able to see each other. So we started sending outfits from our own wardrobes to each other. And she sent me this like massive box of stuff, and I had such a great time going through it. And I had the idea to start also doing that for my other friends and sending them outfits. So then during lockdown, when we were all in our loungewear, we weren't getting that confidence boost of getting dressed up. We weren't, you know, having that joy. There was no opportunity to at the time. So I started doing that, and then before I knew it, I was sending outfits across the UK. So that's how I started my business. I saw that there was a lack of confidence somewhere, and I wanted to improve that. So I found the solution. And then after lockdown was lifted, I decided to... I'd noticed that there was a lot of people who had developed social anxiety. There was also a lot of a lot of women who were going through a late diagnosis of neurodivergence, including myself. And I noticed that people wanted to get out and about, but they found it hard to get out and about. So I started my events, which were called Style Lock-ins, in vintage stores across Bristol. And that gave people the opportunity to come in small groups after hours and have the whole shop to themselves, and me as a stylist there as well. So I'd style them up outfits for their arrival, and that was like a real step up for my business. So I was still doing my style parcels where I was sending pieces across the UK, but this was kind of the next stage, and it really challenged me. I remember the first lock-in I did, I was terrified, and my friend had to give me a pep talk before, because I was like, what am I doing? I can't do this. I've never like managed an event before. Like I'd done events before, I'd done talks, I'd done like this, that and the other around, but I'd never done I'd never hosted, you know. And after I did that first one, it was, yeah, it kind of flew, and I did that for a few years. I paused them for a moment until I find a better space for it, but it was just that next step. And and I say this also because I want you to like the fear and being scared is also a part of it. You've got to push through it, and you've got to almost welcome it, because when you're a bit scared of something, that means that this is something new, this is something that you're advancing into. And now, if I look at myself from there to now, I've hosted runways a team of like 25 people, and I've had like attendees of up to 100 people at a time. Like, looking at how scared I was to host an event of like 10 to now hosting an event of 100, that you've got to push through it, because it's as soon as you let that fear like hold on to you, that's when you're never going to grow. You've got to push through it, absolutely. So after I did my style lock-ins, that's when I got my shop at Sparks, and then that was what, almost 3 years ago now. So I've still got my shop at Sparks, I've done runways, I've done all of these amazing things. And it all started just by sending outfits to my sister and my friends. Like, thinking about it now, it's like how far I've come in 4 or 5 years is fantastic. And I couldn't see myself doing anything else, like, at all. So yeah, that was kind of a history of Clothes Mod, and there's always things going on with Clothes Mod. Always stylish stuff and always sustainable as well. So with starting a business, where does it start? When do you start? What's a good time to start? And it all starts from your mind and from your imagination. It all starts from an idea, from a place that of passion, maybe. Maybe you've spotted a problem and you're like, oh, I know an answer to this. Maybe it starts there. Maybe, you know, it comes to you in the middle of the night and it wakes you up and it's in a dream, maybe. It all comes from somewhere in your mind. And that's where you have to acknowledge it, and then you need to act. Sometimes the hardest thing is to act first. And I remember when I had the idea of Clothes Mod, I had the idea of sending out my style parcels. And I think I was with my best friend at the time, and I had this idea and I pitched it to her. And I was like, what do you think? Should I do it? And she was like, absolutely, go for it. Do it. Like, there's no point in waiting for the perfect time, because there isn't a perfect time other than the time that is now. You've got to do it. You've just got to start. Whether that's literally, okay, open up a document, write the title, business plan or business, or just write the idea down that you have, and then you can start. Be like, okay, what's the next steps? Where do you start? And sometimes that's also a scary place. Like, where do you start? There's so much information out there. There's so many ways of doing things. But the only way that you figure out how to do that is by doing it. So it's about just having a feel of what you want to do. Write down bullet points. Write down, okay, this is my idea on the title, and then bullet point some things. Like, okay, what do I first need to do? I need to look up products. I need to look up manufacturing things, maybe. Maybe I need to look up, like, when I did it, I was like, okay, so I need to think of maybe, like, I just first started. I had, like, a few people that I was already sending it to. So, obviously, my sisters and my friends I'd started, just my close friends. And then I was like, okay, let's ask the friends that I'm sending it to if they have any friends that they're interested, that might be interested in it. Doing it at also a cheaper price, just to start and figure it out. It was covering my costs. And that was enough for now, because I just wanted to get a feel of what was going on, so that then I could start testing out. And then I was like, okay, what's the next step? Next step is I need to figure out where do I get the stock from? So at the time, I don't think the shops were open. I think during lockdown, the charity shops were still closed. So it was like, okay, eBay, Vinted, Depop. Let's start having a look. Start figuring out my price points. Start thinking, okay, how much do I need to charge these new people? How much am I going to charge for postage? And you start to just build yourself almost like an action plan. And then just keep moving. Stop looking at like the massive picture, because when you start looking at the massive picture, where you want to be here, where you want to be here, that's when it starts to feel a little bit unachievable. So when you're starting, it's amazing to have a dream and have a place that you're like, I really want to be there in 10 years. Yes, definitely have that dream. But if you also don't have that idea, if you're just there being like, I want to do this thing and these are the first steps I'm doing, that's also okay. Don't give yourself so much pressure around where you want to be. Just start. Anyway, we're going to a break now, so stay locked tonight to Ujima Radio 98 FM. Stay locked and I will see you in a mo.
Keeping you informed, the BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
BBC News for Bristol. New V-level qualifications are set to be rolled out at colleges in Bristol and beyond from next year. The government is bringing them in as part of its effort to whittle down the more than 1 million young people not in employment, training or education. They'll start off with subjects like education and early years, accounting, finance and digital. Bristol CEO and founder of online marketplace Youp, Dominic Mills, thinks it's a great idea.
I do find that the current landscape of vocational qualifications can be confusing and doesn't always align what we need as employers.
The man in charge of roads in Bristol has been responding to criticism of how long it's taking to repair and rework the A4 portway. Chair of the Transport and Connectivity Committee, Ed Plowden, has told Joe it's a major job which will ultimately improve safety and traffic flow. He says he understands people's frustrations, but it will be worth it.
The whole road there is 1960s. It's looking tired. It's an old road and we're bringing it up to modern standards, recently surfacing it, so hopefully there won't be many times when we have to cut it and maintain it for years to come.
Big crowds are expected at Bristol Temple Meads station today as the first day of Cheltenham Festival gets underway. The first big racing event of the year attracts around 250,000 people with 28 races over 4 days. Today's feature race is the Champion Hurdle, while the biggest prize, the Gold Cup, takes place on Friday afternoon. Football: Bristol City will be looking to address a slide in form when they travel to Leicester. City have won just one of their last 6 League and Cup games to slip away from the playoff zone. And Bristol Rovers will take the 500-mile round trip to Cumbria to take on Barrow with the chance to pull away from the relegation zone. Full match commentary on Radio Bristol. That's the BBC News for Bristol. You're up to date.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Minor.
And you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power Podcast. I'm Meg Cox and I am a sustainable fashion stylist and owner of Bristol-based styling business Clothmod. And today we have been talking about what it's like to start a business, but also we looked into some news about how the king turned up to a Nigerian-British designer's fashion show during London Fashion Week. So if you are interested in that, then please go back. You can listen back to this show on Ujima Radio, the website of Ujima Radio. So anyway, I am back. Unfortunately, we don't have Mary with us, so hopefully she shall be back with us very soon. So today you have me. So I hope you have enjoyed it so far and found it helpful. This is perfect if you're looking into getting into starting a business, or if you are a business owner already. I hope this is helpful. I'm not a tutor. I am just speaking off of my own experiences with running a business. I am now almost 5 years in to running my own business, and I couldn't think of my life any other way. This is what I'm meant to do, and I hope that, yes, I hope that my information and my news and my stories are resonating with you at all. Or maybe inspiring you. Maybe you're thinking of doing it. Oh my God, if you're thinking of doing a business, please do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Because it is life-changing, and it's definitely, it's just, it, it's, it's captivating. It's something that, you know, gets me up in the morning. It's definitely, I'm not saying that it's not stressful. I'm not saying that it's not hard. It is definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. But the rewards are amazing. So before the break, I was speaking about how it starts. It starts from an idea. It starts from it's from inspiration, from just a thought, from maybe a dream, from your mind. And it's how you put that idea into reality and how you act on it and how you make it real. And so there's some things that you might encounter, and you will. I am confident that you will encounter, but it's how you can positively get through it. So something as a founder you might experience is like imposter syndrome. So at the start, but also during it, when you're about to make a big step, when you're about to embark on this maybe new venture, the new business alone, or maybe it's a new idea, maybe, you know, you're getting into doing talks, maybe you're like going and hosting something, like you're stepping up your game. It's imposter syndrome. And I think we have covered imposter syndrome, myself and Mary, on the podcast before. And it's something that we all feel. I definitely have. And it's a feeling that you're acting as this person who's not you. But what I'm here to encourage you is that you have to meet that new version of yourself. You have to step up and you have to meet them and say hi and say and this is how I envision it anyway. Something that helps me is that I'm almost greeting this new version of myself. And it's okay for me to evolve and to adapt to this new person. And it's okay to feel scared of it initially, because it's going to feel really unfamiliar. You know, going from, you know, maybe working a 9-to-5 into work and into being a business owner, like all of a sudden there's all of these new responsibilities, there's all of this pressure. You might feel scared, like you are allowed to feel all of these things. But this imposter syndrome pops up when maybe you have to step into being more confident. Maybe like when I started doing my runways, all of a sudden I was a host, I was a stylist, I was an event organizer. Like the only events that I'd organized and hosted before were my style lock-ins. So they were much smaller. There was a lot less pressure. I wasn't employing anybody to work with me as a team. Like there was so much change, so much that I had to step up and I had to do. And sometimes it's about not worrying about how you are changing and just ride with it, just go with it. And clothing, you know, can actually help with that. It definitely can. Because clothing almost enables you to step into that new version of yourself. Like you can quite literally put on that character, put on that person that you're transforming into, you know. And it is a version of you. When you feel like, oh my god, I can't do this, I've never done this before, I'm really scared, meet that new version of yourself. Maybe look into your wardrobe. Is your wardrobe right now resonating with that new version of you? Do you need to get some tailoring involved? Tailoring, like this seems like a theme this time, because the Tolu Coker, brain just zapped away from me then. Her collection was very tailored, but meets a lot of her world within it as well. And that's how you can also build your work your work wardrobe is that you can bring in elements of you. Do you love like vibrant colors, but maybe think that the office where the, you know, the meetings where shouldn't be like that? That's not right. You can bring that color in, bring elements of yourself in, because what that will do is when you're feeling scared and when you're feeling worried and when you're feeling and you're doubting yourself, that's when an outfit can make you still relate to yourself and resonate. And it can also help elevate you whilst also making you feel familiar as well. It's kind of meeting two worlds together. So also being aware of burnout, you know, when you start a business, you are taking on, you're a person of many hats. You take on all of the roles initially. You're the CEO. You're maybe the cleaner. You're the PR manager. You're the graphics designer. You're admin. You're the financial advisor. You're all of these roles, and it can be really easy to fall into to drop all of your boundaries, and you know, especially like. A lot of like your promotion and social media would be on your phone, so that it's hard to switch off, really is. But what I suggest for you to do that is to have like different modes on your phone. So have like your work mode, and you could have that as a timer. So you could, what I do, so I start, my shop opens at 11, so as soon as 11 o'clock comes, that's when my mode will automatically turn on my phone. So that's where it will allow through a lot of like my emails, it will allow through all of my work stuff, even though I do filter some of that through, so that then it means that when I look at my phone, that's when it pops up. I don't have notifications popping up all of the time just because it's distracting, and as a person with ADHD, it can, you know, completely disrupt my train of thought and focus. And then at the end of the day at 6 o'clock, that's when my personal mode will automatically come on my phone, so that will restrict all of my my work stuff, so I won't get any notifications through that. If I look at my phone, I can still see them, because obviously it is good to be somewhat aware, but don't let it interrupt your world. Have these clear boundaries, and that will avoid you from burning out. Make sure you have days off. Make sure you're prioritizing going for a coffee or a drink with your friends. Make sure that you still have that. Some, I tell you that work-life balance is almost impossible to find sometimes with running a business. I'll be totally honest with you. But it's about feeling it out and just being conscious and being mindful of yourself. So we're going to another break now, but I will be back in a moment with the final little segment of this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I will see you in a moment.
International Women Speak on Ujima 98 FM.
Salute to women of the Quit India movement. Harabati Giri, Matangini Hazra, Kamala Devi, Tara Rani, and all the unsung heroines who fought against British colonial rule. Some imprisoned, some tortured, some killed. We salute and remember you all.
Ujima Radio, celebrating and elevating womanhood.
Have the grey days been getting you down? Worry not! We're bringing some colour to the streets of Bristol with our new Ashanti Empress collection. We've got dungarees, festival tracksuits, colourful cords, and more in big, bold African print that will bring some sunshine to your days. All our clothing is ethically created in Ghana. Find out more and shop the new collection at ashantiempress.com.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast! And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
Code of the Streets returns for its first event of the year on Saturday the 14th of March at Coase's Wine Bar, 34 Portland Square, BS2 8RG. Doors open from 9pm till 3am. Delivering their unique brand of hip-hop, old-school, dancehall, R&B and Afrobeats will be Ujima's very own DJ Fagan and DJ Style. Tickets available online from headfirstbristol.co.uk. Admission will be more on the door and priority will be given to ticket holders on the night. Last entry is 2am, so early arrival is recommended. The award-winning night continues into 2026 with the same energy and vibes that has lasted for over 20 years. Add this occasion into your reminders and join Code of the Streets Saturday the 14th of March at Coase's Wine Bar. Doors open 9pm to 3am.
Ujima Radio, simply the best.
You're listening to the Persona Power podcast with Mary Miner
and Meg Cox. This is a podcast about identity, personal style,
also self-care and mental well-being as armour for both online and offline life.
Tune in on Tuesdays from 1 to 2pm on Ujima Radio 98FM.
Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power podcast with myself, Meg Cox. I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and a owner of Bristol-based styling business Clothemod. So today we have been talking about what it's like to start a business, hopefully encouraging you to do so if you've been thinking about it, but also speaking about a few truths and hopefully you can resonate and feel less alone within it if you have already started your business and you are in the fun, in the chaos, in the enjoyment, in the craziness, because it's what it is. Sometimes it's a roller coaster, absolutely through and through, and is something that I hope never to get off of because I love the roller coaster ride. Sometimes I do enjoy it when it is clean sailing and chill though. But I also accept that there are some peaks and falls that happen all of the time because that's just what it's like. So something that I guess I've just touched on is you've got to appreciate the ride. You've got to appreciate and have almost like delusional optimism. You know, this isn't toxic positivity at all. This isn't, you know, trying to find, this isn't me saying that it's always amazing, it always has to be, and that's because that's not realistic. Challenges come, mistakes happen. Sometimes you fail at stuff. It is what it is. And that's also absolutely okay. And that's also part of the process. It's about appreciating the really small wins. You know, you maybe have got to work on time and you haven't encountered any bus delays that morning. Fantastic. Yay, small win. Another small win could be an amazing review somebody's left you. Like, amazing. So the other day, I was in my shop and I had a lady buy a couple jackets from me. And she said to me that she could imagine herself wearing everything in my shop. And that was, that it's not a written review. But that uplifted me so much. That was a little win for me because that was somebody saying that they resonate with everything that I had there and everything that I'm doing. Like that was a little win for me. I enjoyed it. Another win could be you had a really yummy coffee that morning, or another win could be that you've had a response from a brand that you've been looking to work with, or maybe it could be that you've sold your first, maybe you've sold out of something. Oh my God, that's a big win. Like, that's something big. It's about looking to the little things, because when you start being grateful and being appreciative of the little things that come, it reinforces what you're doing in your mind. And it's a way to hold and maintain a positive mindset, even when things are not going perfectly, because things will always pop up.
you know, everything, it's almost like feeling like everything will be okay, even if you feel like maybe you're in a burning house. Like, that's a terrible analogy, but it's about having that feeling that you're going to be okay, even when it feels like it's not. Look into the people around you, like the people that you surround yourself with is also really important, because you need people who are real, you need people who are honest, but you also need people who are going to encourage you and support you even when things are going crazy. Because it's those people that when you're doubting yourself, when you've got when you've got imposter syndrome, somebody's going to be like, no, you can do it. And sometimes that's all you need. Somebody saying you can do it. Don't worry about that stuff. Just maybe I'm saying this to you now. You can do it. Don't get too stressed about things. And also just keep moving. Like, even if you don't feel like it that day, just get up and do something. Do one thing, do two things, just keep moving, even no matter how slow, no matter how fast you're going, just keep moving, because you know, you're working so hard and you can achieve it. Just keep going. You know, time, anything that is worth doing, it does take time. You know, I can't believe that I'm almost 5 years in to this. I definitely, at the start of it, I sometimes felt like I was just running blind, because I didn't know where what opportunities were popping up, what I was doing. I was just going, yes, let's do it, let's do this, let's move there, let's just do things. And things just take time, you know. The first few years of running a business, I had to prepare myself to live off less as well, because a lot of the income that you make is gonna have to go back into your business. So being prepared for that as well is good. Obviously, starting a business with funding is fantastic, and definitely do that. I didn't start my business with funding. I started it from nothing, and I did get funding along the way, which was fantastic, amazing, and it enabled me to step up. But just don't let money restrict you as well. Like, if you don't have any money right now to start your business, it doesn't mean that you don't start it. You could start looking into things. You can start applying for stuff. Apply for grants if you're eligible for them. But also just start, and just be aware that, you know, the business is going to take you with it. And at some point, you'll be rich and you'll be going like off on spontaneous holidays with champagne on the flight. I'm telling you, that's going to happen. But first, you know, it's going to be a challenge. It will. Prepare for mistakes. They happen, and it's how you learn. It's absolutely how you learn. And, you know, welcome the failures. Failing means you're one step closer to finding out what's right. Don't see the failures as failures, because as soon as you feel that they're a failure, then it's just, again, that negative reinforcement going on. And you can't afford emotionally or financially to feel negative about what you're doing. You're doing an amazing thing. So give yourself the grace to make mistakes. Don't hold yourself by them. And especially when you've started a business, it's easy to pivot. When you're small, when you don't have employees, like, it's really easy to pivot that way. It's much harder to pivot your business when it's big. So if you make a mistake, that's fine. Just pivot a little bit. Just change. Just pivot. It's fine. It's fine. That's it. It's all good. You can do this. And remember that the journey is what it's about. Like, owning a business is a lifestyle. And remember where your ideas came from, where you started it, where, like, that person that had the first idea of your business, or like, when I say business, this could be like your brand, this could be your music career, this could be something that you're starting and that you are the core of. Whether you are an artist and your business grows from your art, your canvases, your creation, like, it's all the same thing. It's all the same process. So you're living the dream. So remember it. Almost sometimes I think back to the person, that the girl who was sat with my best friend talking about this idea, and I'm like, oh my god, she would be so proud of what I've done. That's always, or like, just do that. If you ever feel imposter syndrome, look back to the person who had the idea and think, oh my god, she didn't realize that, or he didn't realize that I could have done all of the things that I have done now. So why am I doubting myself with this new thing that's coming up? Why? You can achieve literally anything. And remember also to reach out for support. Building a business is a lonely place. It can be a lonely place. So joining communities can also help you feel less alone. I haven't actually told her that I'm promoting this, her business. So I'll have to tell her after. But I suggest for the founders, it's an amazing community of business owners. It's run by Sam and she's fantastic. I love her to pieces. I've been in with this community and everybody is amazing. It really energizes you to be around people who are also experiencing the same thing that you're experiencing, and being around driven people, it helps your drive as well. So definitely check out For the Founders. It's a Bristol-based community. And here's some other software things that can help you with starting a business. So Canva's a really great one that can help you with creating promotional stuff, like posters and things like that, but also Procreate if you're an artist. I use Procreate to make all of my posters as well, and it's a much cheaper alternative to like Adobe stuff because it's just insanely expensive. And like I mentioned earlier, the King's Trust, if you're under 30 or between 18 and 30, you can get support and funding in through them, so look up them. And then also the SSE for Social Enterprise, so that's who I had support from, business support from before the King's Trust, so definitely check them out as well. So if you have, yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate you. So if you would like to find or follow me, I'm on social media at clothemod, clothemod. You can see blogs that I write on my website, so that's www.clothemod.com. Or you can come in and see me in my shop in Sparks, Bristol, so the old M&S building. You can find me in there and next to the cafe. Look for the orange mannequins and you'll find me. Anyway, have a lovely rest of your day and I will speak to you next week. Bye!
We are the children of Bristol Cathedral Sparks School. You are listening to Ujima Radio 98.7.
The real sound of Bristol.
Scatter, 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 scatter.